Welcome to this MacBook Pro 16 review. And in this particular podcast, I'm going to go through things like what you get in the box, the overall main features of the MacBook Pro 16, some interesting installation issues that I had when I was first setting my MacBook Pro 16 up. Nothing to do with the hardware, just purely Mac OS Catalina for some odd reason. I'll then go through the things that I change on the Mac OS as far as, if you like, better accessibility and functionality for me is concerned in particular. And then I'll then look at some of the physical benefits of the MacBook Pro 16, keeping in mind that this is a professional high-end machine, so it's absolutely not for everybody. But unfortunately, sometimes when we want accessibility, we end up having to pay for the top end, really the keyboard, and the sound in particular with the music sounds beautiful. But I'll get onto that later on. And then I'll finish off with some points and considerations and a summing up at the end. All right, so let's get underway. So what you get in the box, funnily enough, is the MacBook Pro 16 itself. You get a 96-watt USB-C power adapter. Now, that's to support the 100-watt internal battery. And that's the highest end of battery you can get for wattage that you can safely take on board an aircraft. You get a lovely long USB-C cable. It's about 2 meters. And I actually measured it the other day, and it's exactly the same as the 2 meter cable that I've got from my MacBook Pro sitting here with touch bar, right next to the MacBook Pro 16 with touch bar. Of course, you get some getting started guide documentation, Apple stickers, all the print stuff. And of course, you get it in a lovely box that when you pick it, the lid up, it slides out to increase the anticipation of it. And of course, when you open the lid, you then have to take out the little paper insert. That's protecting the screen. So that's what's in the box. All right, so some of the main specs. So it's got a 16-inch Retina display. It's an Intel Core i9 processor, Apple T2 security chip for security and some other system functions, 4 Thunderbolt 3 / USB-C ports, up to 8 cores, up to 8 terabytes of solid state storage, up to 64 megabytes of good old random access memory, RAM, Radeon 5000M series graphics card, up to 11 hours of battery life when doing stuff like web browsing and watching videos. And just a bit of a comparison with the previous version of the MacBook Pro, you get 10 hours of battery life as opposed to 11 with the 100 watt battery. 6 speaker sound system and a 3 mic array. Now I've got comments on both of those later on the podcast, so stand by for those. The keyboard is new, it's got a scissor mechanism and lots of goodies with it. So that's one of the absolute main features that makes this MacBook Pro 16 stand out from all other Macs on the market from the last 3 to 5 years, because this keyboard is really, really nice. And it's what really the keyboard should have been like in the first place. But again, I'll get on with that later on. One disappointing thing about the MacBook Pro 16, you've got this beautiful machine. It's nice and fast. The keyboard's lovely. The screen's lovely. And then Apple sticks a 720p webcam on it, which seems to be Apple's way of dealing with webcams for the time being, since it started putting webcams in their laptops, it seems. So that's the only tragedy, because it's not all about the iPhone and the iPhone Pros, etc. As far as, you know, taking photos and videos, especially these days, lots and lots of people taking advantage of working from home via video conferencing, such as Apple's own FaceTime group facility, Zoom, Skype, Microsoft Team meetings, etc., etc. Anyway, so that's just my opinion. So that's the main specs of the MacBook Pro 16. Now, if I was to sit that on top of the recent MacBook Pro 15, which the 16's replaced, what you'll find, it's slightly longer depth-wise and slightly longer width-wise. But it's not horrendously bigger, but you certainly couldn't fit the 16 in a very tight 15-inch MacBook Pro bag. It definitely fits in my computer bag, because when I bought my computer bag quite a long time ago, I made sure it had a big computer pocket in it. So my computer bag that I've got wheels and shoulder straps for works perfectly well. Now, because this is a pro machine, it's well built, it's thicker, and other stuff going on, the 100 watt battery, it's also fairly significantly heavier. The MacBook Pro 15 comes in, I think it's 1.54 kilos, I might be wrong about that one, and the MacBook Pro 16 comes in at 1.95 kilos. So it's not a light machine. You can really notice it when you've got it on your lap. And just another little tip, because here in Australia we've got horrific bushfires, it's really hot. The other day here on the Central Coast in New South Wales, it got up to, I think it was 45.9 degrees Celsius. When the machine's running, and because it's aluminium and it's got a really, really good heat sink, which is one of the reasons why it runs so fast, it actually gets really hot. So if you've got the aluminium sitting on your legs, on your lap when you're sitting down with shorts on, the heat coming out of the actual MacBook Pro 16 starts to be extremely uncomfortable. So, you know, in colder climates, you might find the fact that you've got a nice warmer on your lap, but certainly here in Australia, and it does get very hot, the heat sink and the casing out of the MacBook Pro 16. With my 15 here from 2017, it doesn't get anywhere near as hot as the 16, but then again, you've got all the processing power in the 16. So let me do a physical description of the MacBook Pro 16. Now, if you've come across a MacBook, and I'll go from my 2015 and my 2017 MacBook Pros, it's exactly the same layout, mostly, and again, re the keyboard, with all those MacBook Pros. So what you've got on the left-hand side, towards the back, are two Thunderbolt USB-C ports. And on the right-hand side, again, you've got two USB-C Thunderbolt ports. And just behind those two Thunderbolt USB-C ports is your 3.5mm headphone jack. When you come to the front of the MacBook Pro 16, as with all of them, you've got a little indent just under the lid to allow you to actually pull it up and back to open it up. And I just noticed this when I was evaluating this unit, and it's exactly the same on my 17 and my 15. The corners of that little indent are quite sharp. So if you take your finger across it too rapidly, you can actually slightly scratch your finger if your fingers are fairly sensitive. So I only noticed that the other day. Underneath it, besides having the four rubber feet on each corner to stop the unit from sliding on a table, down the left and right-hand sides, you've got a very long vent, and those vents contain the speakers. When I've been playing music on it, it's really hard to determine between the left and right stereo and what's coming out in front of me with another speaker. So if you want to know more, I guess you can always ask a Apple person to check out exactly where the speakers are. I've already mentioned the fact that when you open it up, you've got a 16-inch Retina display. If you're low vision, check that out at a Apple store or anywhere else that the MacBook Pros 16 are sold. And then, if we come down to just under the screen towards the left-hand side, you've got a three-mic array. So there's three microphones in a row, spaced out a little bit towards the left-hand side, just under the screen between that and the touch bar of the main keyboard. Now, there's studio quality mics. If you can put your mouth very close to those microphones, if I'm sitting here normally, which means I'm round about, 18 centimetres at least from the back of the MacBook Pro 16 in front of the screen, it doesn't sound as good. So some podcasters have actually said it's like using a USB mic. I still also disagree with that, because at least with a USB mic or an XLR mic, you, because it's on a stand, etc., or you're wearing a headset, you can get the microphone right in front of your mouth, which is very important to do when you're podcasting. Here's the fun bit that I keep tempting you about, the keyboard. So the first thing to notice about this particular MacBook Pro 16, as opposed to my one sitting here, is we now have our physical escape key back. So it's on the left-hand side of the touch bar, and there's a nice gap, physical gap between the physical escape key and the touch bar. And then on the right hand side, we've got the Touch ID, which is also your power button. It's again got a very nice gap between the right hand side of the touch bar and the Touch ID / power button. On my MacBook Pro 15 from 2017 sitting right next to it, the gap between the Touch ID and the touch bar on the right hand side is quite small. So again, half the time you'd end up activating or having the touch bar read out to your voiceover when you didn't mean to. But this is absolutely beautifully laid out with the escape key on the left, a gap, the touch bar, a gap, and the Touch ID and power button on the right. And then below that, we've got a nice little gap. And then we've got the exciting bit, which is the main keyboard. Now, there's a couple of things about this main keyboard that really rocks. The first thing is that the spacing between the rows of keys is slightly bigger by a couple of millimeters, I believe. So that makes it easier to find the row locations. And the gaps between each individual keys is a little bit bigger as well, even though overall the actual keycap sizes, I believe, are slightly smaller. Because you've got the gaps between the keys on the row and the gaps between the rows themselves are keys, this keyboard is really easy to navigate your way around by touch. And speaking of the keys, because it's got the new scissor mechanism, the keys feel like, and it's not quite like it, but it's almost like the keyboards that we had back in the good old days. And I shouldn't say good old days because I'm still using it. My MacBook Air from 2013. And my absolutely other MacBook Pro 13, I think it was, from 2012, that I've just had recently updated to a solid state drive for my son's music. But all those keyboards, absolutely beautiful keyboards to type on. Now, hopefully this will come out in the recording, but this is me typing on the MacBook Pro 17. So this is with the previous keyboard that everybody didn't like, at least for the last 5 years. So if I start typing now, okay, so you really feel like the fact that you're not being able to push the keys down far enough. They're a bit sluggish coming back. They're a bit wobbly. And also the fact that when I put my hands on the keyboard, I've got to take a little bit of extra time because the keys are so close together, side to side and vertically between the rows, that I always feel like I have to slow down when I put my hands back on the keyboard. It's certainly doable, but it feels like it slows me down. And of course, on the 2017 MacBook Pro here, like I said, there's a very small gap between the touch bar and the Touch ID. In fact, I can probably just stick my fingernail in between the glass on the Touch ID and the touch bar. Now, the MacBook Pro 16, and I've got these both turned off at the moment. If I tap on this one, have a listen to this. Okay, so it's a really soft keyboard to type on. It felt a bit jarring when I was typing on that 2017 MacBook Pro 15, the 16-inch MacBook Pro. Lovely key to type on. Now, if I just compare it, let me just get my other Mac. It's going to close the lid of the 16, put my MacBook Air on top of it. Have a listen to this keyboard. This is my MacBook Air. Okay, so it almost sounds like and feels like the MacBook Pro 16 keyboard. I still prefer my original MacBook Air 13, but the MacBook Pro 16 is so close to it, it's not funny. Okay, so beautiful, beautiful keyboard to type on. And the last thing I want to mention about the keyboard in particular is we now have our good old inverted capital T cursor cross back. So remember on lovely PC keyboards and other keyboards, including my MacBook Air here, we've got the lovely, as I said, inverted capital T. So you've got one key up the top with a space on either side of it. And then below that up arrow key underneath it, you've got the down arrow key. On the left and right, you've got the left and right arrow keys. So again, really easy to orientate. And then of course, in front of the keyboard, we have a very large haptic trackpad. Remember, that's the trackpad that if the machine's turned off, it's not going to do anything. It actually fools you into thinking it's a mechanical trackpad because it feels like through vibration that you're actually pressing something when you're not. So that's really the layout of the MacBook Pro 16. Let me go into some of the issues that I had installing Mac OS Catalina. And when I got this Mac, I didn't realize it had Catalina 10.15.1 on it. And I'll explain some of the issues that I had when I was actually doing the installation. So here we go. So installation and setup issues. So open up the MacBook Pro 16 for the first time. It's got some battery power in it. It starts up. The machine starts talking. If you wait long enough, you hit the enter key, and you can basically then start using VoiceOver to set up the machine. So at that point, it was all going very well. I had my speech turned on with VoiceOver. Everything was beautiful and happy. I could select the English language setting and Australia, my country. But when it got to the Wi-Fi network, where I had to choose my network at home, which in this case was going to be Woody's guest network, it was down the bottom of the alphabetical list in the table. And for the life of me, I could not get the focus, and I don't know why, through that table listing to get to the network. So I had to do some fancy routing commands with my VoiceOver cursor, turning it off, moving it, and then routing the keyboard focus to the actual VoiceOver cursor, blah, 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 to get to the actual proper network. I did that, and then I was able to put my password in. When it came down to my Apple ID, now, this may be my own fault again, because I've got two Apple IDs. I've got an iCloud Apple ID, which I primarily use for app developer testing. And then I've got my main shared family Apple ID. That's for, the Apple Books, the Apple Music, and all the other stuff you use your Apple ID for, including the good old App Store. When I chose to have separate Apple IDs that you can do, that's when the wheels started to fall off, because what happened is I chose both of them, and then the Mac just sat there and with VoiceOver just kept saying busy. And I was actually going to do a podcast of the actual setup rather than just me talking through this one today. And after I literally sat there for 45 minutes waiting for the busy thing to go away, it didn't move. So I basically gave up and go back to the screen where it allowed me to actually skip Apple ID and do it later. And then the next challenge I had was the HEY Siri setup. Now, because the speech of VoiceOver was reading out, it seemed to keep interfering with what I had to say to HEY Siri. So again, I had to revert back to skipping the setup for HEY Siri and doing it later on when the Mac was actually up and running. And then the third issue I got was when I had to set up Touch ID. When I've set up Touch ID on my 2015 and 2017 MacBook Pros, the Touch ID has actually spoken like it does on VoiceOver on the previous versions of the iPhone that had Touch ID. So it would say, raise finger, put finger back down again, raise your finger, put finger back down again. But that's what it did. It didn't do it on this one. So I was never sure quite when I finished. So I had to keep reading the screen with VoiceOver to check where I was up to. So that was a little bit annoying. And then some of the actual next buttons that I had to press to get past, share your information with Apple to do with Siri privacy. Do you agree to share your information with Apple? Do you want to share your analytics with developers? Some of those buttons didn't, again, activate with VoiceOver. That was a bit disconcerting. And also some of the screens, I didn't actually realize they were on the screen because some of them started talking automatically and some of them didn't. So again, that slowed me down a lot. By this stage, I was getting fairly irritated. This is after about a two-hour process so far. So I eventually got to my Mac desktop, discovered that my iCloud account wasn't set up properly, because I've got all my Macs. I've got, hang on, one, two, three, four, five, six Macs. And of course, I use the desktop and the document checkbox for my iCloud storage, so I can share all my documents between all my Macs. That doesn't matter which one I'm on. And of course, that wasn't set up properly. So that was another 25 minutes or so stuffing around with that to try and get up and running. Once that process then finished, I was then able to restore via the App Store some of the apps that I use all the time, such as the Amadeus Pro app, Just Press Record, Twitterific, etc., etc. I've noticed something again with the Mac App Store that really irritates me is that when, let's say, for example, I search for Amadeus Pro, and then you interact with the table, you then VA spacebar, control option spacebar on, say, the Amadeus Pro, it then says redownload button. Now, if you try and access that redownload button, nothing happens. So what you're going to then do to do is uninteract with that table. Go to the left to find the toolbar, which is actually the toolbar info button for the program that you've just been reading about, in this case, Amadeus Pro. And then if you choose that the download button or the redownload button in that toolbar, then you can redownload the app. So because this Mac had Mac Catalina 10.15.1 on it, there was an issue in that particular version of Catalina where if you turned on your keyboard commander with Shift VOK or Shift Control Option K, then your right option T, which is your time and date command, didn't work. So to get that working, I had to update the Mac to Catalina 10.15.2, which of course took another 30 minutes. And then I was able to then use right option T to read the time. Okay, so system configurations. Find system preferences. I always turn on show file extensions because I like to know what file I'm looking at, like a .app for application. And I also check on show hard drive and show connected network drives on the desktop. So I always have the Macintosh HD on my desktop. And I've always said in all the demonstrations I've done on the Mac that that gives me a good orientation point to know where I am when I go back to the desktop. The Finder view, and now you can have various conversations about this. Some people like column view, some people like image view. Since I've been using the Mac since 2005, I've never varied from list view. So that's command 2, command key plus 2. Now, under accessibility, I always check on show accessibility status in menu bar. So I can always double check for me being a blind person that I may have accidentally left Zoom on, for example, or other options that I don't really need. Still under accessibility, under speech, I always check on speak announcements, which is actually really handy because anything pops up, it's going to read back to me. And I always check on speak selected text when a key is pressed, because again, sometimes it's a little bit easier to do that rather than using voiceover commands. So just use the system speech command to do that. Descriptions, I always check on audio descriptions when available, because when I'm listening to my lovely TV app to listen stroke watch movies, I always get audio described, which is actually lovely. So that's basically it for accessibility for the moment. Under system preferences, time and date, under clock, I always turn on announce the time every quarter hour, because I find when I'm working, it's just nice to have the clock read out to me in the background. And one of my friends at Apple, she always has her reading hourly, just because she's so busy that she likes to know the time that way as well. Under system preferences slash Siri, I always change my shortcut key for Siri to function spacebar. I just find it easier to use that way. And just a note, in accessibility Siri, that's where you can change and check on type to Siri. So if you're a person who for one reason or another can't speak clearly for one reason or another, then you can actually type to Siri. Under system preferences slash sound, I always check on play a sound when volume is changed. So that's when you press your function key 11, function key 12 to turn your volume up and down, and it goes beep, 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 beep. And I don't know why I just noticed this, maybe because I've been evaluating the 16, but I've just noticed that on my MacBook Pro 15 from 2017 and on the MacBook Pro 16, I've got the sound back. So if I take the cable out of the 16 here, stick it back in, it goes blink. Remember, a couple of years ago, Apple took out the sound. We had a way of going into terminal mode and doing a terminal command to turn it back on again. Well, I don't know how long it's been back for, but I love it. I love that sound to let you know that the actual Apple Pro is charging rather than having to go to your extras menu, as we call it in voiceover terms, and check your battery level and see if your power is connected or not. Now, the only change I really make in mail is to show the mailbox list, which you can do with Shift Command and M for mailbox list. And then in preferences for Safari, under the advanced tab, I change the tab key so that when you're tabbing through a web page, all the items or elements on a web page is red when you press tab or shift tab. Now, as far as voiceover is concerned itself, in the voiceover utility under verbosity, I turn off announce hints in the voiceover cursor, because that really irritates me. You know, when you stop it, it says, you know, to activate item, press control option spacebar. You can turn all that off in there. And this is not really a voiceover utility, it's more to do with voiceover itself. But the two things I always turn on any Mac that I'm using with a trackpad is the Trackpad Commander, which is Control Option or VO and a two-finger rotate on the trackpad to turn on your VoiceOver Trackpad Commander, and the Keyboard Commander for VoiceOver. So that's Shift VO or Shift Control Option T. And of course, that's where you can do that right option T for time and date, right option S for Safari, right option M for mail. And then if you're like me, you can do all sorts of other keyboard shortcuts that you've added into that via VoiceOver Utility Commander's Keyboard Commander. So on my MacBook Air, I've got things like E for text edit and Z for zoom, etc., etc., etc. So that's the main changes that I make when I set up a new Mac for the first time. Now I want to get on to sort of physical benefits of the MacBook Pro 16, and I've already mentioned these already. So the first thing is just the keyboard. So the physical escape key, the gaps between the escape key and the Touch ID power button with the touch bar, and then the rest of the keyboard, the spacing and the inverted capital T. Bring them all together and it makes an absolutely brilliant keyboard to navigate, as I've already said. Plus the new scissor mechanism, it has a great return and feel to it when you're typing on that keyboard. The Touch ID, now this is the one thing I do miss, and I know the new MacBook Airs have got them. I do miss the Touch ID on my older Mac. I've definitely got it here on my MacBook Pro from 2017, and of course on the MacBook Pro 16, because you can unlock your Mac with it. And you can do Apple Pay, you can do passwords, or by just putting your finger on the Touch ID. And again, because we've got that spacing between the Touch ID power and the touch bar, I find myself not even going anywhere near the touch bar on the MacBook Pro 16. I always tend to hit it on my earlier Mac, but not the MacBook Pro 16. All right, so the sound is just a thing to be believed. You really have to sit in front of the MacBook Pro 16 and listen to the sound. So I'm going to play something, but I just don't know where if it's going to do it justice, because it really does feel like you are sitting in front of a HomePod. You've got this spatial surround sound, you've got lovely bass, and when you're using VoiceOver, it feels like VoiceOver's in the middle of this sort of cascade of music going around the voice in the middle. And then you've just got this sound coming from underneath VoiceOver and the left and right hand side. So it's just a thing that, like I said, I'm not going to do it justice in the podcast, but it's just a thing that you really need to listen to be believed. So go into a store and have a listen to the sound. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to unlock the 16 now. I've just paused the recording. When I was trying to type in my password, I was doing it 100% accurately and it wouldn't let me type it in. And then I found out that when VoiceOver said the caps lock was on, it was off. And when it was off, it was on. So I don't quite know why VoiceOver did that. And it kept doing that every time I actually restarted the MacBook Pro 16. So who knows? All right. So I actually said I was going to play some music, didn't I? All right. I'm going to use Siri. Play some chill out music.
Sure, here's a personalized station of.
Because I need it by now. If I find my
tag dim, tumbler pop, it's now playing button. Display brightness up button. Audio output volume medium button. Mute off button. Audio output volume medium button. Close button.
I have so many questions and places to go. Let's turn it up.
There are too many options.
Now, I'm sitting right in front of the MacBook Pro 16.
This is why I need you.
I can hear the left and right stereo. I can hear the voice in the middle.
Everyone talks now.
I can really hear individual instruments. It's just absolutely beautiful. And if I start using VoiceOver,
menu bar, Apple.
Let's go to my Apple menu.
Finder, File, Edit, View.
No. Like I mentioned before, it's like VoiceOver's almost being immersed with the music behind it talking. Again, with the music still coming in the middle, the back of the left hand speakers. It's just absolutely amazing sound. Stop. So that's the MacBook Pro 16 sound. Now let me do the same thing on my 17 over here. Let me play some music. Play some chill out music.
Sure, here's a personalized station of chill songs.
Of course, the different music. And
now playing button.
Let me find
you display
my
audio output volume low button. You are currently on a
volume
button. Close button. Volume up button. You are currently on a button. To press this button, double tap anywhere on the touch bar. Volume up button.
Close enough to touch.
Now, you know, it's okay. The music's coming through both speakers. It's stereo. If I use voiceover.
Menu bar, Apple. Finder, file, edit, file, finder, file, edit.
You know, sort of get the same sort of feeling. I've got audio ducking turned on this one. So this is my working Mac. But honestly, hang on a tick. Stop. But honestly, it's just not the same experience as ever. Now, I must say, most of the time, because I'm in a family and working from home quite a lot of the time, I've normally got my headphones on because I'm using speech, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm doing my radio program and so on and so on. So, you know, I get beautiful sound when I'm like using my lovely headphones. But if you just want rich surround sound coming out of your MacBook, then nothing beats the MacBook Pro 16. It's just absolutely beautiful sound. So that's the sound. Go back to my 16.
Button, audio output, volume high, button.
I'm just going to just turn this
volume up, down. Close button, volume up, 86%. Volume down, button. 61%.
All right, now. Let me just go round two.
Text edit. Just press read mail for messages. App Store. Safari. Twitterific. Amadeus Pro. Amadeus Pro. Entitled 2. Window.
And it's going to do a recording.
New sound document.
And then Command R for record.
Record. In dialogue. 4. Window.
And this
entitled
is me
4.
Just sitting back normally in front of the MacBook Pro 16. So the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog and raced away into the bush, never to be seen again. So I'm just going to stop it.
Stop. Default button. Close scroll there.
Now I'm going to play it back.
Record. In dialogue. 4. Window.
This
entitled
is me
4. Yeah.
Just sitting back normally in front of the MacBook Pro 16. Actually, let me just turn the
volume. Now playing button. Now playing button. Display mute off button. Audio output volume medium button. Volume close button. Volume up button.
Okay, how about this?
Record. In dialogue. 4. Window.
This
entitled
is me
4.
Just sitting back normally in front of the MacBook Pro 16. So the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog and raced away into the bush, never to be seen again. So I'm just going to stop it.
Stop. Default.
Okay, so look, it's not bad. It's definitely a heck of a lot better than my other Macs, so that's good. But listen to the quality when I actually get my voice and my mouth a lot closer to the array by just leaning over the MacBook.
Record. In dialogue. 4.
The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog and raced away into the bush, never to be seen again. All right, so that was me leaning right over the MacBook Pro 16.
Stop. Default button.
Stop.
Scroll area.
Play.
Record. In dialogue. 4.
The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog and raced away into the bush, never to be seen again. All right, so that was me leaning right over the MacBook Pro.
Amadeus Pro. Stop. Default button.
There's definitely a difference, as far as I'm listening here, between me just sitting back and talking, which is still okay, versus me getting my mouth right up close, probably a couple of centimetres away, to the array that I said was to the left between the keyboard and the bottom of the screen. There's three mics there. So yes, it's studio quality, but you've got to get your mouth right close up to it. And really nothing beats either my USB Yeti or my XLR mic that I use most of the time for my mixer. Of course, the other really good thing about the MacBook Pro 16 is the really, really, really good Retina screen. And what I would suggest if you're low vision is go and check out a MacBook Pro 16 in an Apple store or an Apple reseller. And one thing that I would suggest you checking out is that for a long time, I've noticed a lot of low vision people here in Australia at least, when you're using the system zoom, the screen magnification, when you get above 4x magnification, the system font or general font you're using always starts to pixelate. So while it's fine for lower zoom levels, any Mac that I've heard anybody talk about, they always talk about the pixelization going on. So if you're a low vision user and you use large print and you want to try out system zoom, try it higher levels of magnification and see what you think. Now, the really cool thing about Mac OS Catalina now is the fact that you've also got the speak hover text option in accessibility settings, and you've also got that speak item under the mouse pointer as well. So they're two things that make the low vision experience much better. So benefits and some points to consider. So remember, on all Macs that have got touch bars, you can still use the number row to emulate your function keys if you don't want to use the touch bar when you hold down the FN key. So if you hold down the FN key and press numbers from 1 to 0, plus, dash, and equals, that's your F1 to F12, dash, and equals, that you can use with VoiceOver. So they actually work really nicely. So if you wanted to do Control Option or VOF8 for VoiceOver Utility, in reality, you'd actually be doing function, VO or control and option, and number 8. To use the touch bar with VoiceOver, you can drag your finger around the screen, You can drag your finger across the touch bar, or you can flick left and right, and of course, one finger double tap on the last heard item to activate it. And of course, the touch bar is a dynamic touch bar. So when you go into iTunes, Finder, Mail, Safari, it's dynamic, so the touch bar will change depending on what you're doing in an application. To toggle VoiceOver on and off on the MacBook Pro 16, and of course my one here with the Touch ID as well, it's the Command key, and you press the Touch ID / power button three times, or press it three times. So Command three times on the Touch ID to turn VoiceOver on and off. If you want to bring up the accessibility dialog for other accessibility options, then it's actually Option and pressing that Touch ID button three times to toggle it on and off again. One thing that I find very disappointing is the VoiceOver speech parameters. Now remember, it used to be a couple of iOS versions ago, VO command and your arrow keys, which was perfectly fine. Ever since Apple's changed that to Shift VO command and your arrow keys, it's really sluggish. Between the different voice parameters of, you know, voice pitch, rate, and so on. And it's still exactly the same sluggishness on the MacBook Pro 16. You think, given the higher processor speed, it'd be a bit better. Sometimes I just don't think that Apple really maximizes the codes to take advantage of the actual machines it sometimes is running on, like this very, very fast MacBook Pro 16. And just a note, this is not really a criticism, but the fact this has got USB-C ports on it, and you want to plug in a refreshable USB Braille display, then just grab yourself a USB-C adapter and then plug in your USB devices, such as your, you know, your Victor Reader Stream, your Braille displays into that, and then you can access them that way. I've just got loads of little USB-C to USB adapters these days, and it's just one of those things that I have in my bag. Now, quite surprisingly, I kept getting VoiceOver busy sometimes, particularly when I was launching the TV app. When I initially did an attachment in the Mail app, it said busy for about 2 seconds. So again, I was quite surprised on this fast machine. So, you know, I'm not using the cores, blah, blah, blah. But I just thought, you know, on a reasonably fast machine in general, and with the solid state drive, it'll be less frequently that I'd even get a busy announcement coming out of VoiceOver. The increase in weight, even though it doesn't sound much, it is actually quite significant. If you have a physical disability, for example, my wife has, there's practically no way that she would be able to pick up this MacBook Pro 16 off the table. Again, just keep that into mind if you do have people that have got an issue with physical disability, that the weight of the MacBook Pro 16 might be an issue. If it's just sitting on a desk, you don't have to use it because you're using a large monitor, then it's perfectly fine. And when invoking Siri from the keyboard, or the HEY Siri function, it doesn't beep. I have to guess when to talk after I say HEY Siri, or do in my case my FN spacebar. So that's a little bit of my whinge about Siri having no announcement sound. So I guess in summing up, the two major things for me, I guess as a person who is blind, is definitely about the keyboard and definitely about the sound for both VoiceOver and music. Absolutely beautiful. It's a high-end professional MacBook. It doesn't actually make sense for me as a blind person, even though I do radio programs, podcasts, I do a heck of a lot of webinars, Zoom conferencing, etc., etc. This MacBook Pro is way too powerful for my needs. I don't do number crunching, I don't do video editing, etc., etc. I can still get away with using my, you know, 2017 MacBook Pro 15 or my MacBook Air from 2013. If I was recommending a person to upgrade and they're a general school using type person, I would absolutely recommend the MacBook Air. If they're a person working in the workplace or in higher education, etc., I would recommend the MacBook Pro 13. Because remember that the 15 doesn't exist anymore. The actual MacBook Pro 16 has now replaced the 15. If I had somebody that was doing massive works of coding, spreadsheet, number crunching, all that type of really high-end core processing stuff, then I have no hesitation recommending a MacBook Pro 16. But anyway, that will do me for this fairly rambling podcast. But as I said yesterday, I got a bit over all the issues that I had with the MacBook Pro 16. Even today, with the caps lock key, deciding that it was going to be on reverse as far as VoiceOver was concerned was really irritating. I don't know if it's a Mac OS Catalina thing, a VoiceOver thing, or a MacBook Pro 16 thing, or a combination of all three. But that's why I've just ended up doing a bit of a speak fest in this particular podcast on the MacBook Pro 16 review. But anyway, that will do me for the moment. And as always, thank you for listening to my rambling today, and I will talk to you next time.